Welcome once again to our series on intelligent design and biological evolution that's been debated so hotly in the last decade or so, not only particularly in the United States, but even in Europe. And we've been talking about it with our guest, Ron Eldred, who is professor at John Paul II Catholic High. He teaches world history, American history, and the Bible. I'm your host, Father Larry Moran, Pastor Emeritus at St. Patrick Catholic Church here in Terre Haute at 19th and Poplar. Ron, we've been talking about the whole idea of intelligent design and evolution and the Church's understanding of where that is. So we were talking about this document, Communion and Stewardship, which comes from the Theological Commission that was set up by Pope John Paul II to advise him on scientific matters. So is there anything else that you want to add about the thought from Communion and Stewardship, this commission that is advising still Pope Benedict XVI?
Well, as we had said in our last session, this is about as close as I think to a document, at least that I could find, that would give us, the Church's position on the theory of evolution and the role that intelligent design plays in that. Keep in mind now, by intelligent design, there's the philosophical level that we spent at least one session on in this series, which is basically natural theology.
And it basically says that from the complexity of design of human eye, the feather of a wing of a bird, the complexity of the heart system, there's got to be a designer.
Yeah, and St. Paul, of course, begins talking about such things. And many of the Church Fathers, especially, of course, St. Augustine. And the modern intelligent design, let's say of the Discovery Institute, is an attempt to add a little bit of modern scientific proof to that whole approach.
And they're reputable scientists.
Yes, they are. And there are not many of them compared to the, the great number of scientists. And we might add that the great, great majority of scientists don't accept this this idea. The methodology used by most of these scientists, as we have discussed in one of the, or at least actually several of this, the programs in this series, seems to be more statistical, mathematical, than using the sets of steps of experimentation and controlling these experiments and all that kind of thing that scientists consider to be a part of the method of science. And certainly they use mathematics and statistics, but that's after they gather their data. And I don't think that these ID scientists, for the most part, gather a lot of data and do a lot of observation in that sense. They take lots of information that's been gathered by other scientists and then apply their mathematical computation to it and come up with all kinds of things, as we found out in our series on reasons to believe Catholic apologetics, where we looked at the area of anthropology and, biology and geology and some of the various kinds of statistical treatments that these ideas.
So some of the very graphic images that we're using in our discussion was like by random selection, if you put a million monkeys on a million typewriters, that if they you let them go long enough, they'd come up with Hamlet from Shakespeare just by random selection.
Yeah, that's one of the more facetious types of examples.
And then the one about if the wind blew enough times through a junkyard, it could eventually put together a B-29. And we say that those, it's impossible to make a reasonable statement like that, that something very, very complicated could be put together just by blind chance.
I went in and looked at some of these arguments in a little more detail one time, and they get quite mathematically sophisticated, far beyond my competence. And the critics who are the scientific mathematicians who are criticizing this work also are far beyond my competence. So you'd have to be quite a mathematician to be
but
able to
really
follow through those arguments.
But it really boils down, intelligent design keeps saying we cannot reasonably account for the complexity of the whole of creation without saying that there has to be a designer, intelligent designer.
And there's really no difference, I think, between natural theology in that point of view and modern intelligent design scientist in that point of view. That the ultimate designer, the ultimate cause of all of this is, they don't always necessarily identify this designer as the Christian God, the Trinity or whatever, but most of them do. They tend not to stress this too much in public so as not to alert, you know, their enemies, the people who are opposed to any kind of religious ideas in, you know, the public school system or in the public sphere. But
sure.
Now, going back to your question, there is a few more things I'd like to add about that document, Communion and Stewardship. The document argues that Catholic theology does not commit the Church to one side or another in this strictly scientific dispute between evolution and design. In other words, the Church is not taking sides as such in strictly scientific or strictly religious matters. It asserts that even if evolution appeared, quote, random and, quote, undirected, from an empirical point of view, and they mean by empirical, just observing it, because you can't see the hand in God, you know, directly in things. It's by analogy, only by analogy that we can know this is true or believe this is true. It could still be part of God's plan or providence. In other words, just because you can't see it doesn't mean it isn't true.
Okay.
Of course, that's a matter of faith. And that's what the scientist would say. A scientist who may want to only explain things, you know, by mathematics and by observation, he still may deep down believe, when he goes to church on Sunday, yeah, I believe that God's the one who really did it. And I suspect a high percentage of the scientists do believe in God. And there are, you know, unfortunately, a lot of them who don't and are either agnostics or atheists. But this view agrees well, I think, with the view of many Catholic scientists who say, and other scientists who say, that the problem with evolution is not so much the theory itself, but the philosophical application some make of it. For example, Nicola Cabibbo, president of the Pontifical Academy of Sciences, that's associated, you know, in some way or another with the Vatican.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 78-member body of academics who advise the Pope on scientific matters and who is a professor of particle physics at Rome's La Sapienza University, which means Wisdom University. He says, quote, "The theory of evolution can be disturbing to Christians because it seems to clash with the idea of divine creation. However, this clash is false. What clashes with divine creation is an extension of the theory of evolution into materialistic interpretations, so-called evolutionism, or as Cardinal Schönbrunn called it, neo-Darwinism. That's not science, he's saying. It's metaphysics." He goes on to say, quote, "We are not against evolution as such, but the materialist use of evolutionary theory. Any evolutionary mechanism that is contingent, that is dependent, can only be contingent because God made it so. An unguided evolutionary process, one that falls outside the bounds of divine providence, simply cannot exist." We've heard that repeated several times in various people, Pope, Cardinal Schönbrunn, and others. He concludes by saying, "We know that God wanted to create man by revelation, but we don't know how he did it. This is what science attempts to explain. There should be no clash between science and religion, because they do different things." End of quote. So we can confidently say that belief in mutation and natural selection, this is going on quoting him further, is compatible with Catholicism, as long as the underlying premise is that God set it up that way. In other words, this is, again, goes back to this idea of secondary causation. God's the primary cause. He designed all these things. He set these laws in motion, and human beings cooperate with him as co-creators. And
that is
remaking, so to speak, the face of the earth.
Okay, and that is the heart of the matter, whether God set it up that way, or as the neo-Darwinists or the neo-evolutionists want to say, no, we can explain everything by material causes alone. We don't have to have a first cause. We don't have to have God or God's plan or design in this at all. And that's the heart of the matter.
That's the heart of the matter.
Okay. Well, has Pope Benedict himself said anything specifically on evolution?
Yes. The Pope has commented on the topic several times during his pontificate, even. For example, we already quoted his comment on the subject during his inaugural Mass homily on April the 24th, 2005.
I think it's worth repeating.
Yes. Quote, "We are not some casual and meaningless product of evolution. Each of us is the result of a thought of God. Each of us is willed. Each of us is loved. Each of us is necessary." End of quote. Furthermore, on April the 6th, he said to young people who had come to St. Peter's Square right after World Youth Day that science presupposes the trustworthy intelligent structure of matter, the design of creation. So really, you know, what the Pope is saying is, you know, I believe in intelligent design.
Sure.
Both, you know, from the natural theological point of view, and also I'm sure that he probably thinks that a lot of this stuff, this statistical, logical type of treatment by intelligent design scientists, it makes a lot of sense. It fits in perfectly with, you know, natural theology and the Church's position. But on the other hand, he has said, and we've quoted him having said this, and Cardinal Shinburn, that this is, when you're talking about the Creator, when you're talking about believing things that are not necessarily themselves perceivable with the senses, then it's more of a matter of belief. And belief is something that more properly belongs in a philosophy classroom or a theology classroom or religious classroom or something like that rather than science. We'll come back to that issue when we conclude this series, because there's a big problem. That may be well and good, and it'd be nice if it were treated in the public school system, let's say, in a religion class or philosophy classes, but these are the kind of things they don't have there. And if they did, they probably, and they and the courts, the school system, wouldn't allow any discussion of this anyway.
Okay.
John Allen, he's a reporter, an editor with the National Catholic Reporter. He wrote an article about Benedict's, he called this article, his evolving thought on evolution. It contains a number of quotes from the Pontiff's books. And in his article, he says that Benedict XVI is not a creationist, that he does not advocate a strictly literal reading of Genesis. And basically, the Church never has, even beginning with Augustine. Nor has he ever made references to teaching creation science in schools. Remember, we spent one session talking about this creation science. Which would mean a strictly literal interpretation that the earth was created in 6,004 years, you know, on exactly 6 24-hour days, and, you know, and the argument is that there's more proof for that, scientific proof for that, than there is for the theory of evolution. We spent a little bit of time for that.
But creationism, which a lot of good fundamental Protestants would hold, as Catholics, we can say, well, okay, if you want to hold that, that's okay.
Sure.
We have no argument with it, but we can't just say that we have to interpret the book of Genesis literally.
And we can't, and we just simply can't ignore modern science.
Right.
And at the same time, in other words, God gave us science to understand these things.
How?
Yes, and so there's nothing wrong with using it. In fact, I think we're obliged to use these methods and this knowledge. and there's no conflict between the two. And another thing, the Bible, what is the Bible? I teach a class on this and all year with for juniors and seniors.
At John Paul II Catholic High.
Yes, and the Bible's not, it has a lot of history in it, but it's not a history book as such. It has a, it's not a, a scientific text by any means, although it, it's not incompatible or inconsistent with modern science, but much of the Bible is meant to be taken allegorically. And that's why the Catholic Church is so important, because only it knows, in most instances, because it wrote the Bible, at least the New Testament, and indirectly the Old Testament, you could say, only it knows how it should properly be interpreted. And even the church doesn't know everything, and will admit, you know, that we don't know what all every sentence in the Bible means by any means.
And you had quoted before in one of our earlier series that Cardinal Baroni has made that famous statement that the Bible's main purpose is to teach us to go to heaven, not how the heavens go.
Yes.
So it's not specifically a scientific book.
Or an historical text, either one.
Okay.
So again, Benedict does not advocate a strictly literal reading of Genesis. And nor has he ever made any reference to teaching creation science in schools, and that the Pope has no desire to launch a crusade against modern science. The New York Times is quoted as saying that in this regard that Cardinal Ratzinger wrote in his 2004 book Truth and Tolerance that an attempt has been made to turn evolution into a, quote, universal philosophy that explained all life. And that this evolutionary ethic that inevitably takes as its key concept the model of selectivity, that is, the struggle for survival, the victory of the fittest, successful adaptation, has little comfort to offer. He goes on to say, even when people try to make it more attractive in various ways, it ultimately remains a bloodthirsty ethic.
It's a pretty strong statement.
Looking at it, you know, strictly from a purely cold, calculated way, without God being a part of it, without any idea of providence being involved with all of this.
Okay, has the Pope Benedict himself said anything directly about intelligent design?
Well, as Cardinal Ratzinger, he said in a commentary on Genesis entitled, In the Beginning, a Catholic Understanding of the Story of Creation and the Fall, that there exists an inner unity of creation and evolution and of faith and reason, and that these two realms of knowledge are complementary, not contradictory. He states, quote, we cannot say creation or evolution, inasmuch as these two things respond to two different realities. The story of the dust of the earth and the breath of God, which we just heard, does not in fact explain how human persons come to be, but rather what they are. You mentioned this a while ago, that the Bible's not necessarily telling you how, you know, something mm-hmm. happened. It explains their innermost origin and casts light on the project that they are. And vice versa, the theory of evolution seeks to understand and describe biological developments. But in so doing, it cannot explain where the project of human persons comes from, nor their inner origin, nor their particular nature. To that extent, we are faced here with two complementary rather than mutually exclusive realities.
So the church is constantly trying to help us see the difference between reason and faith. There are a lot of things that we can learn from reason, even the existence of a creator, but faith gives us so much a more beautiful and well-rounded picture that most of us need revelation to know the details, especially who Jesus is and what his teachings mean. But that faith and reason, the Holy Father Benedict XVI seems to have made a great attempt to once again, as John Paul II did, to defend reason as a way to real knowledge, and that we can attain real knowledge through reason alone. And then that's where we get into the area of scientific discovery and all these wonderful attempts to say what makes all these things work. And the big problem is, don't, from a Catholic viewpoint, is don't eliminate God.
According to John Allen, of the National Catholic Reporter, whom we've been looking at here, some of his quotes from some of the Pope's books and speeches and things, he says that the Pope really isn't an advocate of intelligent design, as it's understood in the United States, since intelligent design theorists typically assert that data from biology and other empirical sciences by itself requires a hypothesis of a designer. I think what he's really saying there is that, like the Discovery Institute and the scientists that belong to it there, they're doing work that I think of a statistical, mathematical nature. He might agree with their, you know, their intent and what have you, but...
And the conclusion.
And he might even agree with their conclusions, but...
If you've got design, you've got to have a designer.
Yes, but...
If you've got a watch, you've got to have a watchmaker.
But then they'll say, that is not... I think the Pope is probably saying, that is not a scientific issue when you start talking about the Creator.
Okay.
That is a religious issue, and or a philosophical, from a, you know, natural theological point of view. And so, therefore, it doesn't have any place in a, you know, a strictly scientific classroom. That it should be taught in a philosophy class or a religion class. And when we get to our last session, which we're going to get to fairly soon, we'll talk about that issue. In other words, what are we going to do? What can we do? Can anything be done in this country to try to get a fair hearing, so to speak, for
things like intelligent
natural
design,
natural theology, and even the scientific approach to ID.
Okay. He said something else about macro evolution.
Yes, he may have some sympathy for this view.
Of intelligent design.
Yes, and as he questioned the evidence for macroevolution. Macroevolution has to do with the transition from one species to another on the basis of random mutation and natural selection. However, ultimately, he sees this as a debate for the scientists to resolve and not something for him as a pope or as a theologian or the church from a religious point of view to try to resolve. The church would say that scientific discoveries cannot be contrary to any Catholic teaching.
Because truth is one.
Yes, it's the presuppositions. It's the inferences that certain scientists make that there is no God, there's nothing behind all of this. How do they know that? They can't see that through a telescope or through a microscope any more than an intelligent designer can see it through a God designing it and putting it into motion and keeping it going kind of thing.
Through a microscope or a telescope.
Yeah, through a microscope or a telescope. Okay. So, in a sense, that is just as, you might say, ideological or philosophical. The neo-Darwinian view is just as philosophical as any intelligent design view.
And the problem is that that's what's very commonly taught in many high school biology classes.
Yes, it is.
That there is no God behind all this.
Allen goes on to say that, quote, he's talking about the Pope, his concern cuts deeper to what he sees as a tendency to convert evolution into a universal theory concerning all reality, improperly transposing Darwin from the scientific to the philosophical realm. Such a worldview, Benedict believes, excludes God and therefore excludes rationality as the basis of existence. I'm reading from Allen's article here. In contrast, the Pope insists upon the fundamental conviction of Christian faith. And further on, he writes, with respect to Pope John Paul II's famous, now he's talking about John Paul, famous 1996 statement that evolution is more than a hypothesis. Therefore, it is meaningless to ask whether Benedict XVI agrees or disagrees. Ever the professor, he must insist upon clarifying what precisely is meant by evolution, whether it's being evaluated on a scientific or a philosophical basis, and so on.
Okay, we have a few minutes left, Ron. Maybe we could talk about, didn't the Pope call for a meeting last year with former doctrinal students of his on the subject of creation and evolution?
Yes, he did. The meeting was held with a former student of his when he was a professor at Regensburg University in Germany. I think he was there, I recall right, about 20 years or so. This group is called the Schülerkreis in German, meaning student circle, a circle of his students. And this particular meeting was held on September the 2nd, 3rd, 2006 at the Pope's summer residence at Castel Gandolfo, a papal palace that symbolizes church coexistence with science because it houses a world-class astronomical observatory run by the Jesuits.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I think they created that right after the Galileo affair, somewhere not too long after that, if I recall, right? This meeting was a continuation of annual meetings he had held with former students to discuss a new topic every year when he was still a professor and continued when he became Cardinal Archbishop of Munich, and then John Paul appointed him, I think, in 1979 or 80 to be the prefect of the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, which he held, of course, until he became Pope. Some of his former students represent some of the best known and highly regarded theologians in Germany and elsewhere. Catholic World News reporting from Rome on September the 4th, 2006, that participants said that the Pope chose, this is at this meeting now, chose creation and evolution as the topic for last year's discussion because, quote, he hoped to advance the dialogue between religious faith and scientific knowledge and to provide support for the belief that there is no contradiction between the known facts of evolution and the Christian faith in God's act of creation.
So the Holy Father is really interested in the topic about evolution, scientific, if it's really scientific, and, of course, the Church's understanding of Revelation.
The main speaker is a man by the name of Peter Schuster, president of the Austrian Academy of Science, an eminent molecular biologist who was a defender of evolution. Another one was Robert Spemann, a noted German political philosopher who has criticized evolution as a philosophical system, Father Paul Ehrbich, a Jesuit priest and scientist from Munich, whose work on proteins has questioned whether chance alone could play the decisive role in evolution, and Cardinal Schönborn, we mentioned many times. The presentations, I understand, were highly academic, from that meeting, there resulted a book called Creation and Evolution, Schöpfung and Evolution, Und Evolution in German. It hasn't been translated yet. I would have gotten a copy of it and tried to read it, but it's still in German, and my German is, I haven't kept it up for many, many, many years, and I would not be able to.
I think it's marvelous the way you get these most recently edited books about the topics we're talking about. Ron, I think our time has run out, so we'll try to talk about that book, at least what we know about it, in the next series. And to our audience, we say, may God bless you always and in all ways.